Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors. And in this podcast, we're going to be talking about lending. I mean, a lot of you real estate investors out there are looking to find money. I mean, that's the way to invest. Why use your own money when you can use OPM to put into deals? We know how much more beneficial that's going to be. Typically, it's going to increase your cap rate on deals. So what better way than to find someone who is willing to lend to real estate investors, especially flippers, because that tends to be difficult for a lot of people getting started in real estate that have been investing in real estate for a while, is to find someone who truly understands the flipper's mentality. And myself, you know, I used to flip in the Las Vegas market for a number of years. I can tell you, I always use my own money. And the reason why is because when I started flipping, I just couldn't find someone to finance those deals. And I hated having to tie up my own funds into my deals because, A, there's risk in that. Why take the risk yourself when you can push the risk onto someone else with those deals? And so as the market has evolved, there have been a lot of players that have come into the market, and a lot of people promise, you know, great things, a loan on certain deals, maybe they'll do a 90-90 loan, and you're thinking, that's great, I can get in on that. But then you find out in the details you don't qualify, or else they're going to kill you in cost to put that deal together, and all of a sudden your profit is going back to the lender. Well, I'm happy to have on today Paul Jackson and Rick Morgan from Residential Capital Partners. They're out of Dallas, Texas, and I met these individuals at a real estate conference, and it really intrigued me when I started digging into their business and what they offer to real estate investor clients. And I thought to myself, you know what? I just need to get them on the podcast because I know many of you listeners out there could definitely benefit from what they're offering. So without any more from me, let me just introduce Paul and Rick. Hey guys, thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. You guys are in Dallas right now, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So are you all Texas natives? See, I threw in that you all there.
You know, my family came through Tennessee on its way to Texas, and Rick's did as well. So we've been here a long time. So I guess we're Texas natives now.
Yeah, what is it you didn't like about Tennessee that wanted you to go over to Texas?
Who knows, man? Just opportunity, I guess. That was an ancestral decision. Of course, Nashville's blown up now, so it's a hot market.
Yeah. So it's not like Californians who just get tired of all those crazy policies and the people that live there and they want to get away from them. You guys actually move there for other reasons, for business opportunities.
That's right. Absolutely.
Just as an aside, Paul, for you, when I was going through your profile, I saw that you worked for, was it Staubach Capital Partners? Is that the famous quarterback?
That is. It was Roger Staubach. He was my childhood hero, and had the opportunity to work for him at the Staubach Company and Staubach Capital Partners. And he ultimately sold his company to Jones Lang LaSalle and is still actively involved in that business, which is primarily a real estate brokerage business. But Jones Lang's got a big footprint, but he sold that probably 10 years ago. And then we started looking for other opportunities. And one of the ones we found immediately upon looking was an opportunity to loan money into the single family residential market and its neophyte status as an industry. And over the last 10 years, we've seen it grow into a fully institutional industry that is, you know, got all the names associated with any other sector of commercial real estate or real estate investment looking to provide capital and to borrowers in this space.
Now, Rick, did you guys work together at Staubach Capital Management?
No. Paul and I met about 12 years ago doing some real estate development in Texas. And when the opportunity to form ResCap came along, we took advantage of that opportunity and made it one of our companies that we own and operate.
Got it. And you yourself, you said you're a CPA or used to practice at one point in time?
Long time ago, debits and credits.
You just got tired of doing that?
Well, accounting for me was always a means to an end, the end being, you know, starting a business and building it and creating wealth through ownership, much like purchasing and flipping houses. Our expertise and knowledge and relationships with institutional investors and banks empowered us to provide a lending service to this industry that enhanced our ability to make profits in it versus doing the buying and the flipping ourselves. And so that's how we plugged in. We were pretty good at it.
Well, I can imagine having a CPA on board to keep everyone else in line so that you can see, hey, you know, we can't sell it at a loss and make it up in volume on these loans, that we actually have to go about it methodically to make sure the numbers line up. So I guess that's a boon to have in that type of business. I can see why they probably brought you in.
Sure. I mean, accounting is the language of business, and knowing where the dollars are going out and coming in is rule one, no matter what you're doing.
Exactly. All right, well, let's talk about your company. So Residential Capital Partners, it started in 2009. And as you, I heard you say that at that point in time when you got in, it really wasn't an area that was targeted. Now it's becoming more mainstream, loaning to people. And so when you started this company, was it with this in mind that you were going to work primarily with people who flip real estate? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what attracted you to that segment of the market?
You know, we actually got involved in this segment of the market during the downturn when the banks were selling off a lot of the bad assets as they were taking in TARP money. And we were bidding on a lot of distressed debt that was single family backed. And we were looking for a partner that would help us. And so we partnered up with a local franchise based company here in Dallas named Homevestors, which uses their tag phrase, "We buy ugly houses," as a way of attracting new franchisees and growing their business. We use their franchise network nationwide to help us underwrite debt acquisition of single family distressed paper. And so out of that came the opportunity to start loaning money into this segment. And so we kind of came at it through one angle and came out the other side as a lender. So
nice.
That's kind of how we got here.
I bet you've just seen an explosion then in your business over the past 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's definitely as the economy returned to normal and all the trauma of the global financial crisis healed, we've seen a lot of growth in our balance sheet over the last 5 or 6 years for sure. It was, you know, for a period of time there post downturn, a lot of the real estate investors that were out there were, you know, a little bit nervous on the flip side. They knew they could fix the house, but would there be somebody there to buy it? I think the credit has returned to the borrowers that are looking for a house to purchase for themselves. But there's also been, you know, a wave of what we would call maybe millennials that are looking to rent a house. They've been in an apartment and they've started a family. They're looking for a backyard. And so the real estate investor rental portfolios have been growing. We've seen that. And so it's all of that is fueled our business and fueled the growth of this industry.
Nice. Okay, so, you know, let's just get into these loans, because I've worked with a lot of real estate investors who flip property, and I'm always hearing, you know, problems that they're having with their hard money lender, you know, either getting the deal together, figuring out what they're actually going to receive. Many times they're shocked when they find out that when it comes to putting the deal together, that the money that they thought they're going to have for the rehab really isn't there, that they had to put in 30% first before they would get any money from the lender. And so if you could just walk the listeners through to begin with, you know, if I was a new customer, I was coming to you, what's going to make me want to work with you for my hard money loan? What is it that you offer that makes you different, would you say?
That's a great question. We think the foundation of any good loan is consistent delivery of good communication and clarity and understanding the terms of what the relationship is and how the money's priced and structured, and then doing what you say you're going to do. We have adopted a culture. We have a stated rate. We live to that rate. We don't bait and switch. We don't offer customers lots of options. Here's what we do. Here's how we do it. We'll give you information and feedback on your deal very, very quickly. Time is the most important thing to any renovator and flipper of houses, and they don't want to spend 3 or 4 weeks on a 30-day contract trying to pull financing together and then find out at the last minute that there's a change or a no. One of our mottos is we want to have the fastest no in the business, because if for some reason we can't perform, we want you to know about it quickly so you can take action and get your deal done perhaps somewhere else. Our terms are very, very basic, and happy to discuss those generally with you this morning. But clarity and consistent delivery of service, we think, are vital. And we want to do business. We think we offer the best terms in the industry, and we want to offer superior terms to superior customers. So we are reluctant to do business with people that have never done it before. But if you've done a few rehabs and you've got some experience and some skins on the wall, as it were, we can underwrite you and close you very quickly. And our goal is to make you a repeat customer.
Got it.
Yeah, I think the terms that Rick speaks to, besides clear communication, and we want to be borrower minded. And that's why we've structured the loan terms to be, we'll loan 100% of the dollars up to 65% of the after repaired value of the house. And we'll allow the borrower to pay the points, the origination points on the loan on the back end. So what we feel that does is it keeps cash in the borrower's pocket, which in a, you know, fix and flip business, cash is king, and staying healthy in your cash position during the investment period is king. And so we feel like that's a differentiating factor for us. A lot of lenders will come in at 85% or 90%. We feel like giving 100% of the dollars up to 65%, if the deal makes sense, it keeps the borrowers healthier and allows them to realize profit over the term and keep some money in their pocket.
I wanted to come back and go into that in a little more detail and put to you a scenario, because I think everybody, you know, they hear these numbers, but it's when you actually provide a concrete example. So I'm going to give you the example, and then I'd like you to walk us through what it would take to put this deal together if I was looking to borrow from you. So let's assume that I found a house and the acquisition price of this property is $100,000, and that's what it's going to cost me. And then the ARV value is going to be, let's say, $200,000. Okay, so we got 100 and 200 just to keep the numbers simple. So if I wanted to come to you for a loan, what would the terms be? What would I be looking at? How much would I have to come with? What would I have to put down? What is going to be my interest rate? What is going to be the term? How much are you going to lend to acquire the asset? How much are you going to lend if we figured that the rehab budget is going to be $50,000? How much would you loan against that?
Sure. We can work with those figures. Our company makes loans the following way. We will make a 9-month loan, and we will advance to our borrower customers 100% of purchase and repairs up to 65% of appraised value. So if the house is worth $200,000, we would loan up to $130,000. So if your repairs were $30,000 and you bought it for $100,000, we loan it all to you. If your repairs are $35,000, then you've got to come with the extra $5,000 yourself. I think the instance you mentioned was $50,000. Mm-hmm. Most of our loans, virtually all of our loans, are what we would call rehab loans, cosmetic types of rehabs that do not include major renovations, additions of square footage, that sort of thing. So repairs are a smaller percentage of the total out-of-pocket cost. But we will advance our customers 100% of purchase and repair costs up to 65% of appraised value of that house. In the instance you mentioned, a $200,000 house, we'd loan $130,000 on it. We will charge our customers a simple app fee. We don't charge the app fee until they're already approved, subject to appraisal or review of the collateral. So it doesn't cost them anything to apply. Once the loan is approved, the title work will get done. We'll close the loan in 7 to 10 days. We charge 10% interest payable monthly, only on the amount that you borrow. So if you're not borrowing money for repairs, if you haven't asked for repair money yet, we don't charge you interest on money you haven't borrowed. We charge points on the loan, but rather than collect the points at origination, as virtually all other lenders do, we collect the points at maturity when you sell the house and collect your profit. Our goal is really to keep that customer as liquid as possible. So if they have a $2,000 or $3,000 mistake, or they come up and they want to spend a little more money upgrading the property, they've got the capital to do it. Obviously, they've got the capital to pay us our interest along the way. So it's a very simple program. We don't have different rates for folks. We don't make, oh, well, you've been in business a long time, we'll cut our rate for you. It's pretty much one shop, one product, no gimmicks, no asterisks, no small print. Here's what we do. Here's how we do it. We file a first lien mortgage on the property. At the courthouse, we do not make loans to individuals. So our borrower, for example, you would, if we were going to do a loan for Coons Rehab LLC, we would loan your company the money to buy the little house and fix it up and sell it.
Okay.
We don't make consumer loans.
Got it. So with that, let's just talk about that ARV value. You know, I've run into my clients before, I've run into issues with figuring out what is the true ARV on a property. How do you address that?
Well, first we ask them, as a part of submitting their property application, to include 3 comps, which gives us an insight into how well they know their business, how well they know their market. And we ask usually for those comps to be within a 1/2 mile radius of the home that they're submitting on the property application. And then we verify those comps with internal research engines that we use. One of them is a Red Bell report, which is a national MLS fee that'll pull comps for us. We'll compare the comps that Red Bell generated. A lot of times the comps are the same if the customer really knows their business. A lot of times they're different, but still supportive of the transaction. And then we compare those comps from Redbell, not only to the borrower's submitted comps, but also to all the information that's out on the internet and metadata from Trulio to Zillow to House Hacker. We've got, you know, all sorts of tools to be able to zero in on what the ARV is and it should be.
Okay. So then using my example again, let's assume then that we start the rehab work and my GC then asks for a draw of $10,000. So what's the process there?
That's a great question. One of the things that we do as part of our underwriting and original close with you is we would ask you to send us a repair budget itemizing the improvements you want to make on the property and the dollar value associated with those improvements. As Paul and I mentioned earlier, we really don't get involved in major renovations or square footage additions. So the numbers associated with carpet and cabinets and kitchens and that sort of thing, roofs and air conditioning are generally understood by us on what that number is and understood by our borrowers. You would submit to us a repair budget at the time you bought the house and closed. We would set aside 100% of your repair budget to have available for you, so there's always money there for you to get when you finish through. So if you finished a section of repairs, you would submit a repair draw request, funding request for those items that you completed. You would check off the items that you completed. We'd send an inspector out within 48 hours to confirm you really did do the paint, you really did put the cabinets in. Then we reimburse you that money through ACH or wire into your account. We do not normally request or require a lot of backup paperwork. If you told us you wanted $1,800 to paint it, when it's painted, we send you $1,800. If you got it painted for $1,600, fine. If it cost you $2,200, you had to spend the difference. You told us when you bought the house you were going to budget $1,800 for paint, and that's what we sent. Sometimes when you have major improvements like maybe a septic or a major foundation issue, we may ask for a third-party contractor bid, but that's not normal. We want to make it as quick and easy, not only on you, but on us as well. So we'd advance those funds, you'd get reimbursed, and you'd go to the next repair cycle.
How long does that typically take to get the money on that? Because if I got a contractor looking for their $2,000 so they can go out and hit it on this upcoming Friday night,
A couple of days.
Okay, because you got to get an inspector out there, you said, right?
Right.
Got it.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
So on that, in my example, where we're $20,000 over on the rehab, so whose money gets spent first? So if the rehab budget is 50 and you're telling me you're only going to loan me 30 of that rehab.
We set aside 100% of your repair budget in a repair escrow, in a repair reserve account.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to assure ourselves that you've got all the money you need to fix that house. So if there is an overage on the transaction, you would come with that difference at the closing of the house itself.
Got it.
Good news is 100% of your repair budget is set aside and reserved for you beginning day one.
That's what I thought I heard you say, and I wanted to nail that down. Now, with that in mind, so let's assume then I need then to come to the table with $20,000 to acquire this property. So if I'm bringing that money into the deal, one of the issues that we run into a lot, or my clients run into a lot with lenders, is they want to see where the funds came from. So they either want to trace, they want to see seasoned funds. So let's assume that they're getting the money from Fred, who's going to joint venture on this project. Do you have requirements where you need to trace that $20,000 I'm bringing to close? Or is it, hey, if you got the $20,000, great, the deal is the deal?
You're digging pretty deep in the weeds. It's a great question. What we try to do in our business is separate the credit and the liquidity from the property decision itself. When a person goes to our website, and I would encourage all the listeners to do that, we will have them apply with us as a customer. We will perform all the background checks, the confirmation of experience. We'll ask you to submit a couple of HUD statements from your prior renovations to confirm you really know what you're doing. We will ask you to send us a simple copy of a recent bank statement, and we can confirm your liquidity. We're not doing deep dives with customers because this is a collateral-driven industry. What we want to make sure is that you are an upstanding citizen and you've got enough money to pay your bills while we're waiting on this house to make your profit and protect and act as collateral for our loan.
Okay. If you got to bring any money to the table itself, where does that money need to come from? Does it come from your personal account? And one of the issues that I see a lot with people who are looking to get started in real estate is that they may not have a ton of cash in their savings account. Let's assume that they have $100,000 in an IRA and they have access to those funds. We can get them those funds, say, by rolling into a solo 401k, and they can take a loan out of $50,000. Or maybe they just want to do the deal in their solo 401k or self-directed IRA. You know, with your business, guys, does this pose any problem? Have you done those types of deals?
Sure, we've done those deals, and I wouldn't say that they're a majority of our business, but it's enough of a percentage that we notice. We don't give tax advice regarding the tax compliance associated with self-directed IRAs or 401k money, but we have seen it done. It is a useful tool. Many of our customers use it. We want to make sure in our loan that you have ample cash reserves to pay your interest as it comes due and to fund the repairs for that working capital cycle pending our reimbursement to you of your repair money. And we have occasions where our borrowers will utilize defined benefit and 401k and self-directed money to make that happen. Absolutely. We can do that.
Okay. So one of the issues that we run into when we're using those types of funds would be recourse. If you ask the borrower or the individual that's going to be doing the deal to sign a personal guarantee, is that something that you require, or is this strictly an asset-based loan?
The defined benefit 401k, SIP IRA, IRA kind of money does impose on both parties, us and the borrower, us and the rehabber, certain amendments to a standard loan set. Frankly, the risk posed with using tax-deferred savings to fund a purchase and rehab of a house, the risk associated with not performing on that and the tax implications of that are, frankly, as severe or more severe than a personal guarantee. So the people that use that money invariably are very, very, very careful to make sure they use it well and pay us, because the tax man can be more burdensome on their failure than we are. So on those occasions where that money's used, we typically don't have a lot of problems, because people that use that money have more than a problem with a lender if the deal goes sour.
Yeah. So what I'm wondering is, do you require them to provide a personal guarantee? Because they can't provide a personal guarantee if they're using those funds. That would be a prohibited transaction for them. So if they came to you and they're wanting to put a deal together and they're using those funds, that would be a non-starter for them. So I'm just trying to determine how do you set that up.
Personal liability on personal guarantees associated with loans or proceeds coming from a self-directed plans, as you accurately describe, is a problem. And so we don't require that. There are methods and ways of borrowing against IRA money and having other ability to utilize that capital besides just having the IRA itself own the house. And we work to make sure that we comply on our side of the deal on every transaction that's done. Obviously, we can't speak to the tax advice for your listeners on their side, but we are aware of what those pitfalls and issues are, and we deal with
them. Got it. All right. So, you know, I gave you a scenario, and before we talk any more about that scenario and what you guys thought about it, if I was going to come to you to get qualified, because one of the things that I tell people over and over again is that, you know, you have to go through and get your power team together and get all your, you know, ducks lined up in a row. So then when an opportunity presents itself, you're ready to take action and you're not running around trying to find who's going to fund this deal. You already know the lender's funding criteria. You're already pre-approved with them. So when the funds are needed, you just got to turn over the packet of information that they require, and then that deal can be put together, as you stated, relatively quickly. So if I was getting started then, I mean, what are some of the things that often come up for investors would be, you know, credit scores. You look at their credit score. What is the minimum credit score to qualify for one of your loans? And how about proof of funds? I mean, what would they do? Would they go to your website and fill something out? If you could speak to that.
Yeah, no, that's the first thing that we do is we direct them to our website and ask them to submit their personal information, submit their, you know, 1 month of their bank balance sheet, their tax information, W-2, give us the ability, the authorization to pull a credit report, because that's our first you know, step in establishing a relationship is, you know, how strong are they? What can they handle? And in some instances, it may be an approval for $200,000 or one loan. In other instances, it may be, you know, $600,000 and three loans based on their experience.
Our goal is to get you approved as a customer before we ever look at your first property acquisition, because we don't want to slow down. We don't want you or us to be slowed down by credit decisions when you're in the midst of trying to close a house. Anyone that meets the minimum credit criteria for, say, an FHA mortgage, and your listeners are probably familiar with that, low 600s kinds of credit score. Anyone that's got basic credit information and background on credit score and performance equal to base requirements for an FHA or Fannie or Freddie mortgage would meet our requirements. Would ask you to have enough ample cash reserves on hand to be able to adequately pay your interest plus fund a few of your repairs until you can submit a repair budget. That number varies based on size of the house and the money involved. And I would rather lead your listeners to the website for that information. But we can underwrite and close the credit aspect of our relationship with you and get you approved as a customer and prepared to issue proof of funds letters or have you submit houses for funding. We can go through that process in a couple of days.
Well, that's just great, because that is one of the things that, like I said, that investors should be handling right away. They need to be getting their lender lined up. They know how much they can borrow already. They've already gone through the approval process. I tell them they should have their title company lined up as well, so that they know exactly how they're going to close and it's not going to create an issue with the title company. Because as you stated, what I heard is that you only work with people who have LLCs and business entities, that you're not working with individuals, correct?
That is correct. And also, we work from virtually all of our customers have already done a few rehabs before we found them. And so they've already gone through the process a couple of times. We confirm your experience by asking you to send us copies of the selling HUDs where you sold a couple of houses you flipped. And seasoned people know exactly how to do that, and it goes very quickly. Every once in a while, we'll have someone apply who might have great cash, great job, you know, lots of money, great credit, but they've never done a deal before. We're really not the place for you to start, because we offer some of the best terms in the entire industry, and we like to make sure we're dealing with customers who are among the best in the industry as well.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. I mean, 10% loan, 3 points paid on the back end. I mean, that's very attractive to people who are in this space and looking to put deals together. Now, you know, what I want to end with here is I gave you an example, and I knew giving you the example what you might think about it. So tell us, because we were talking about this at break, you know, about the example I gave you, and why do customers that are getting involved in real estate and flipping properties, why do they fail? And maybe use the example that I gave you as an example to illustrate it.
That's a great question. And the first rule of any business, and certainly the first rule of flipping houses, is make sure that whatever happens, you live to fight another day. And when customers fail in this business, when rehabbers and flippers of houses fail, they invariably fail. Either they ran out of money or they ran out of time and they couldn't complete the job. If you pay too much for a house, it's really, really hard to dig out. You gave an example earlier that we discussed of a $100,000 purchase with $50,000 in repairs. That's $150,000 on a house that had an appraised value of $200,000. On the day you walk out of that title company with the deed and the keys, you're in that deal at 75% on the dollar. You've got to put on top of that interest and carrying costs, taxes, closing costs. You're going to sell the house and maybe pay a real estate broker to sell it for you. You might be netting 92, 93 cents when you sell it by the time you pay your selling expenses. You've got another 8 or 10 points of interest carry and another couple of points of insurance and taxes. Your basis has gone from 75 to maybe 85, 84, and you're only receiving 92 or 93. In the instance you gave us, an example you gave us, you're going to be out of pocket well north of $30,000, and your profit's going to be in the 12 to 15 range. In that instance, you're spending $2 to make one. That's too thin. In a good deal on a $200,000 house, in our mind, would be paying $85,000 or $90,000 for it with another $30,000, $35,000 of repairs. Now you're in that house at about 65 cents. You can put all the carrying costs and closing costs in that deal and still make a handsome profit. And your cash investment's not $30,000. Now it's about $10,000 or $12,000. Now you're investing $12,000 to make 25 or 28. That's a good deal. So that's what we track.
Yeah, so you would probably walk on that deal that I gave you. You wouldn't fund that deal, would you?
We'd probably recommend that you try to get that purchase price reduced. What we would tell you is, you know what, we worked really hard to find you and make you a good customer. We want to loan you money, but we don't want to loan you money on a deal that you're not going to do well on. If you really want to do that deal, you probably need to find a local lender that might be able to help you get more comfortable with it, and we'll just catch you on the next one.
Exactly. Because what I find a lot of people don't appreciate is that when you're dealing with that thin of a number, it doesn't account for the hiccups that could come along. You may find other problems in that property. Your contractor walks off on you, and all of a sudden you're underwater before you're halfway through it because there wasn't enough profit built into it. So, I think that's really important because there's a lot of hard money lenders out there that loan on deals and they don't look at it from that perspective. I mean, all they're focused on is getting the people the money, and if it fails, fine. They take the property back, they sell it, and they make a profit on it. But what I like about what you all are doing is that you really analyze the deal itself and you want people to find success. And you're not going to tell them, hey, any deal is a successful deal as long as it fits a criteria or lending criteria. What you're really looking at is, whether or not they're going to be profitable at the end of the day. And so I think that's important and people should take that to heart. So, oh, by the way, we talked about this earlier. You don't loan in all 50 states. There's about 30 states or so that you loan in. So it depends on where the property is located, and they can find that on your website. So if they want to get a hold of you, where should they go?
Go to residentialcapitalpartners.com and click apply now, and one of our people will reach out to you once you've submitted your information.
Great. So if they go to residentialcapitalpartners.com, and at the top there, at the menu bar, it looks like here, I'm looking at it right now, you hit apply now, and then it takes you to the application page to request a loan or get the whole process started is what we were discussing. So that's great.
That's right.
All right. So that's easy as that, guys. Just go to residentialcapitalpartners.com. If you're looking to work with someone, a hard money lender, or to put your deals together that truly understands the business, that wants to make you a success, I would recommend that you check these guys out. Great product. Everything I heard today has been, I think, just awesome. Is there anything that you'd like to add in closing?
No, thanks for the time, and thanks for the chance to visit with you about our business.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and I hope some people reach out to you. And with that, I'll be seeing you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Clint.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.